So it's time to turn my microphone on. Everything that we do here, whether it's a clock, whether it's a wristwatch, or whether it's the new iPhone or iWatch, some of the new devices, everybody's got a different version of that. Not only can you keep track of time, but you can also make sure that everybody gets your attention nonstop. I think of Kyle a lot of times because I know he's Mr. Technology, and he has to have a lot of this stuff on him. There's others that may have to have it too. I think about my daughter. I think about my son. And boy, when the phone beeps or buzzes or anything like that, it makes you anxious anymore because you're so used to people having immediate access into our lives that we want to have that, and we want to have it back with them. How many of you that have mobile devices, when you send a message that you kind of have some urgency to or importance to, and you send something to somebody, it could be an apology, it could be a request for information, it could be concern, and you give them about 5 minutes, you're like, man, something's happened to them. What happened with my friend? They're not answering me in 5 minutes. Well, you go back to the time when you had that stopwatch there, and that never happened. Sometimes you couldn't get a hold of people for weeks. There's research that I've been doing on the Grasshopper Railroad I've told you all about before. I'm still working on that book. The year is getting closer, but I'm still working on it. And over, one of the biggest things in that story, from newspapers and from the story of that railroad that most people never knew existed, is because there's little tiny towns, and each one of those towns would have that train bring mail, and people could actually find out what was going on in the lives of their relatives and loved ones in other places around the country or around the world. And they were totally dependent on that train arriving with their mail to find out what was going on. It was all about what was going on in the time that they had. So let's move on. What can affect our perception of time? Well, when we're talking about watches and we're talking about how we chronicle time, it's not winding. So if you're thinking about that first one is running, you're not getting winded and you're not running. That's winding. So one of those crazy English words that can be two different ways. Our perception of time can be affected by whether we have our clocks wound up or not. Now, not a lot of people have watches that you can wind up, but if you do have a pocket watch like that, yes, you did every day have to crank that thing open to get that spring charged up so it would work throughout the day or maybe the next day. If that was off, your time frame would be thrown off. And we all know that if our time's not right, everything that we do doesn't quite go where it's supposed to. Well, most of us have devices now that have batteries. Well, what happens when your battery dies? Again, going back to the mobile device, another thing that panics a lot of us is when we have our phones start buzzing and saying, it's out of battery, it's turning off, and you're like, I am not going to be able to do anything in my life until it's charged back up. So a battery can certainly change our perception of that. In older times, the sun, whether it was a sundial or just seeing the sun in the sky, people were very smart about where the sun's position was and the seasons of the year to understand, okay, I don't have my calendar, I don't have a calendar on the wall, I don't have a computer that's going to tell me what time of year it is, but I can tell that the seasonal change that's going on, it's time for me to plant a garden or to plant corn or beans or whatever I need to live. So time certainly could be affected by that. But what if the seasons didn't do what they were supposed to? We've all had spring start that you're like, okay, here we go. Everything's warm. Flowers are starting to come up. Okay, it's time for garden time. And then we end up with snow for 3 weeks. I know you guys like to give me a lot of hard time about snow and cold, but that happens, doesn't it? We've had other times when it's been in the middle of winter and we'll have 15, 60 degree days for a week. That starts making flowers sometimes come out. Well, just seeing some of the actions of nature is not necessarily always indicative of time. What about time zones? Yeah, I'm on time here. This has happened to me and the kids, probably all of you that have traveled. You go someplace, you're planning on going to church with them at a certain time, and you go someplace that's right on the line. And are you in Eastern Daylight Time? Are you in Central Time? Where is that division? You might just go down the block and the time changes. And I've had times where the kids are like, Dad, we're an hour early for church. And it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know what time zone we were in. Or we've gotten to other places and we're like, yeah, let's go. Nice to meet everybody. And the preacher's wrapping up. I'm like, oh, this time zone has totally affected what I was planning. Even just the functioning time. Is your time device even working properly? Keep on moving. Why is time important to us? Well, we've got schedules, we've got appointments, we have meetings, all of us. Everything is based on time. That's just how we are as creatures. I put breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I was thinking about my son on there because his time frame for when those times are much closer together than what mine are. But it all kind of hits us at the same time. Why is it important to us? It's time to eat. We normally say it's breakfast time, it's lunch time, it's dinner time. It's work time, it's play time, all those things. Time, time, time. It's just over and over in our lives. It's how it's just what we live in. What are some other time statements that we can have? How many times have you said, just a second? Actually, some of these you could have exclamation points or you could have periods on there from wherever you're at. Tell somebody, just a second, well, what does that mean? It says, at this moment in time, I can't help you with what you want, but in a moment more, I might be able to help you. What about you say, just a minute? Well, that's the same thing, but just give me a little bit more space there. Got a second? Have you asked that question to somebody? It's like one of them is saying, okay, here's my response to you, but you switch it around, and that's my I'm trying to find out if you have time for me. Do you have a minute? Well, when? How many times do we say that? Well, when can we do that? Your boss may say, when can we get this done, Roger? Or when we're going to be able to expect that? It's all, okay, here's all the time. Which point in time is this going to happen? Is now good? Here's the time that I'm ready for it. Is it ready for, are you ready for it? How about later? What's your ETA? Get that ASAP. We all hate that word. We like to type it sometimes, but we hate to see it. ASAP means I want it before you're ready for it most of the time. So why is time such a big deal to us? The answer is clear. We only have so much of time, and it never stops. And I put that in physically and in bold right there because that's what I want you really to take away from my lesson today. Time is a physical measurement. And we're going to see what I'm going to contrast against that here. But I think it was a good point. Something, one of those studies that I start down one track and then something like this comes up and it just totally changes my perception. So hopefully it'll make an impact on you as well. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay treasures up for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." I was thinking about my daughter there because we've been having some weird things going on around our house lately. And it's not making her happy. It's making us a little bit frustrated. We are so isolated compared to when we were down here on Corwin. And we used to have problems with things in Corwin. Katie and I, she was going out to feed the dogs the other night, opened the door, and we saw the back door shut. And everybody was in the house. And that stuff scares her. It scares us. And it's an invasion in your life. And it could have been, who knows what happened. We've had money taken, too. It's just, these things really make an impact to us when we read scriptures like this. And moth and rust, we've all had problems with that. Moths, not so much anymore. I think houses are better screened, so you don't get that problem. I had one on my coat today, and I was like, oh, man, I was just thinking about this first. I was afraid I'd have a hole in my suit. But rust, it's all around us. Anything that's made of metal, you're going to have problems with it. But thieves, they're never going to stop. They're always going to be here. But the contrast there is to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This picture here just happened to come in when I was doing some research on this lesson. And again, I want to go back. Why is time such a big deal to us? The answer is clear. We only have so much of it, and it never stops physically. And what this picture does to me, I'll explain the metaphor, and then maybe you guys will see it too, and hopefully it'll stick in your minds. I used to love watching these pictures of when those rocket ships would take off in space. Now, some of the younger ones don't understand what this even is. They don't know why there's a big disc falling back into Earth there. The same is true for the booster rockets that we see on the space shuttle. It would get up. It would take it really hard to get away from Earth's gravity. But as gravity decreased, that ship could go more and more on its own. But those boosters helped it to get away from this Earth. In the early days of the rocketry, from the late 60s, about the time that I was born, through all the way through the 70s and into the 80s, rockets were made of multiple stages. There was a big bottom stage, a middle stage, and then a top stage. And that top stage was the last part they needed. But that bottom and middle stage were just absolutely packed with rocket fuel. That's why they had such huge clouds of fire and smoke coming, because that little tiny capsule, you see that rocket might be this tall, but the capsule where those men were only about that big. Well, why was it so big? Well, gravity is enormous. The Earth is enormous. Look at that picture. I mean, that's out in space and with a huge wide-angle lens, and the Earth is still tremendous. But what that picture shows right there is one of those stages of rocket fuel just falling off that ship so that the rocket can keep on going. I used to love watching those fall away and burn up. Well, the metaphor that I was telling you about that I see here, in sync with this lesson, and again, going back to that question, why do we have time? It's so much about physical things. This Earth is terrestrial. That means it's physical. Everything here is physical. You're physical. I am physical. Everything that we do is physical. And time, and that question up at the top, what time do you have? Beginning and ending of our lives is always on this Earth. We're always physical and we're confined to this place. Throughout Scripture, you'll read places that say that man's life is on this earth. Over and over again, when we had our study on Wednesday a while back, we kept coming up with the term, all things under the sun. Brad said it so many times when we were doing our lesson there. Solomon talked about that in Ecclesiastes, I believe, on our study. that everything to do with man, he said, is vanity because it's all under the sun. It's everything on this physical terrestrial world that we're stuck to. The whole point of this is getting past this physical time frame and going to where there is no time. That's what our purpose is as Christians. That's what the world is going to be dealing with too, whether they know it or not. And so our goal, when we come together as a church, as we come together as Christians, the reason we are baptized into the water to listen to what God and Christ have to say to us is to get off this world into the spiritual. Now this picture is not the true heaven, but the heavens are not the earth. We understand that. So again, you have to give me some liberty of just this metaphor here, but our lives as human beings on this terrestrial planet and our understanding of God and being Christians is just like that rocket ship. What we do here, what we see in the Bible, what we try to follow in His Word, the people that we try to become are those rocket ships trying to get away from this physical Satan's world and getting to the spiritual place where God is. And it takes a lot of rocketry or rocket engine and power to get away from Earth. And so too is it for us human beings to escape the time on this earth to get to a spiritual place where God is. I've got down there 3, 2, 1. That was always the first thing. 3, 2, 1. Main engines. And those rockets would take off and they would get up into space and go. So continuing on, Matthew 25 says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." So He's in His place. Christ has gone to be up there. Now what's He going to do? "And all nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." I've tried to underline words that have something to do with action. Actions can only be done within time frames. And we're talking about time this morning. So when? Well, we know we talked about those questions. Now? Later? What time are we saying? Well, when the Son of Man comes, gather before Him and separate those sheep from the goats. Same chapter, verses 45 through 46. "And He will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You really have to read the whole context of that passage if you've forgotten about what is going on in that story by Christ there. The scenario is He's judging basically all human beings for what their righteousness. Have they been obedient to Me? Have they used the gift of salvation that I've provided to them? Or have they ignored it? And what we see here, talking about time, are two things that don't end. Again, terrestrial world where we live now, future eternity. Everlasting punishment and eternal life. Both of those mean it does not stop. It keeps on going. It's not like the span of time that we have on this planet. We know this planet, too, has a certain time frame that's going to exist. So, everlasting punishment or eternal life, which one do you choose? And again, you have to read the whole passage to see what Christ says to say there. So, going back to what our original title slide was, what time do you have? Thinking about these things. Personalize this. Right now, what is the time that you have? Some quotes on time. I just pulled these. These are all just worldly quotes from people over the years, but I think some of them could make some pretty good spiritual application. I like this one. My kids will probably both smile about this because their dad's really guilty of this. "Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late." I don't know how many times we get to church and like, "Dad, we've got 15 minutes or half an hour or 45 minutes before church starts. Why do we have to get here so early all the time?" Like, I don't want to be late. That's just how I am. A lot of people are like that too. But think about that. It doesn't matter how early you arrive to an event. Sure, you might be bored. You might get to a wedding and maybe you're there for an hour and it's like, "This is ridiculous. Why did I get here so early?" Well, the opposite is it only takes a few moments for you to be late. Just like he says, 1 minute too late. It could be a second too late. How many times have you heard about accidents that people had? If they had only been there 1 second earlier, they would have been okay. But they were there at that moment in time, and this happened to them. So, just think about that when we're talking about time. Christ certainly talked about that too in the many parables that He told. I like this one from Benjamin Franklin. And again, I hope these are accurate because I'm pulling these from the internet. "Lost time is never found again." Now, that's true. We know what the future is, but lost time is never found again. How many times do we look back at something and we did something that we didn't want to do, or we missed an opportunity, and it's like you can't go back to it? One of the quotes I used to hear people say so often, "Don't cry over spilt milk." That you can't fix the milk. It's already spilt. You can't do anything about it. All you can do is try to be more careful in the future. The time is certainly never found again, and so we have to be very, very on guard for it. William Penn says, This is time is what we want most, but what we use worst. And that's absolutely true, too. I think we've got time. How many times have we gone through the day? And how many times do I say time in this lesson? It's just so much a part of our lives. Do we look back and say, I really should have, what did you should have done that you didn't do that day? How have you let the TV sink into your minds and ignored things that you could have taken care of? I don't know who this person is, but his name is Theophrastus. Time is the most valuable thing that we can spend, and that also is true. God has given us a certain amount of it, and we'll look at that as we get to the conclusion of this. He's given us from here to here, and that's all ours. And most of that, a lot of that is birth and childhood, and a lot of that is older age. So we kind of pare down to the middle, and that's the most important thing for us. I think this is probably my favorite of all of them, if it's definitely from Emily Dickinson. Forever is composed of nows. Now, that's not necessarily true in the future as far as our eternal soul goes, but forever in our lifespan is now. What are you going to do right now? What are you doing? Are you paying attention to this lesson right now? I don't care who's speaking. Are you thinking about spiritual things right now? Every moment that we take and we contemplate God is certainly going to be more advantageous for us. And the last one here, Charles Caleb Colton. The present time has one advantage over every other. It is our own. And I really like that one too. It doesn't matter how many people I look back in history and see what great things they did or what terrible things they did. I can't look in the future and see what great things people did, but right now, this time of my life, I can affect you, you can affect me, and we need to take advantage of it as much as we can. The word time is used some 710 times in the New King James Version that I'm aware of. I know some of these total numbers of words are not always accurate. I think it was 690 in the Old King James Version, just by some of the language there. And the Bible itself is a sort of timepiece for mankind. And we're thinking about this as we're talking about it. In Genesis, the very first verse of Genesis in our Old Testament says, in the beginning. The beginning means start here. The last thing that's said in Revelation 22:21, John says, amen. And we know the word amen means let it be. So it's basically saying the end. So the beginning to the end. The course of the Bible. So what time do we have? Our Bibles have the time now, just like those quotes that we've read about. Revelations 1:8 says, and Christ says here, recorded by John, I am the Alpha, the Omega. So if we know our foreign language, we know the Alpha means first, and Omega means last. The beginning and end. So just to clarify that, just in case you didn't understand that, here's the start, here's the end, the beginning and the end. And then to say it one more time, who is, so that's present, that's the now, who was, that's then or the beginning, and who is to come. So that is the future. It covers everything there. And then if you're still not certain about it, the Almighty, just to give you a little bit more insight on there. So, just a very, very crude, simple graphic here in PowerPoint. God and Christ are limitless. However, man is limited. Remember that picture I showed you about the rocket taking off of the earth? The terrestrial world, we know this is Satan's world. This is Satan's playground, sometimes people like to call it. That's where we are. We can't do anything about it, but we can try to transform ourselves to be like Christ. So how can that change? If we're limited by time, we're limited by the earth, and Christ and God are limitless, we need God and Christ to intervene in our lives to bring us up to that limitless state. They can certainly do that if we let them into our hearts. And again, just like baptism, Christ came down on earth. He was man. We talked about that in class today. He came here for us, but we have to be obedient to Him. And through obedience, He will take us back up to be with God. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength in due time, we're talking about time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Again, same question. What time do you have right now? Matthew 24:35-37. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So the things that we have around us, they're not going to stick around. But God's words, just like we talked about, that eternalness of God will not end. And this isn't a reminder to the people of this world when they say, oh, that church stuff is old. We got this new religion. Humanism is it. No. Christ and God said that my words are eternal. They will by no means pass away. But that day and hour, no one knows about it. Talking about the time when heaven and earth will pass away. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And just saying, Noah never saw what happened, but it did happen. He was warned about it and it came through. The same thing's going to happen for us with Christ. Jeremiah, I know, is one of Abe's favorites. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, and this is a fairly long reading, so bear with me. You can just stay in Jeremiah 18 if you'd like to. Arise and go down to the potter's house. I really like this because Jeremiah seemed to get a lot of metaphor from God. You know how much I like metaphor, and this really takes the picture with him and leaves it for us. I will cause you to hear my words. So he's going to go to that potter's house, and he's going to hear God's words through what he sees. Jeremiah says, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, talking about the potter, making something at the wheel. So he was making, spending time doing something. At the vessel that he made of clay and was marred in the hand of the potter. That means he was making this nice clay thing on the wheel, and something happened, and we've seen it happen before. All of a sudden that jar or that pot started getting all wobbly. Marred means there's a problem with it. So what did the potter do? Well, he made it into another vessel. He just squished it back down and started fresh again, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant, talking about time, a moment, an instant, I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down and destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and plan it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said which I said would benefit it. Now, the word now again, right now, it's a moment in time, but it's this time. Therefore, speak to the men of Judah and say to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, "Thus says the Lord." Remember, God in Christ said, "My words are eternal." So when God and Christ speak, it's not going to change. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of from his evil ways, and make your ways and your doings good. This passage was to the Jews. It was for the scenario that they were in at that time. But I think it certainly applies to today. It applies to us as Christians, but I think more so it applies to the world and all those that live before God, and that they need to be cautious of what he says. Same question. What time do you have? 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him, "Not a word." How many times do we see this in our lives? Are you going to follow this worldly plan that's not going to lead anywhere? Are you going to be interested in God and Christ? We're teaching you about the church. Are you just going to sit there? And sometimes people are like that. They just sit there just dumb. Just like we talk about Zechariah today. I can't talk. Well, why not? Why can't you make up your mind? Time equals opportunity. 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." We're not going to get it on our own. It can't be just one. That rocket may have taken off into space there, but it's just not going to make it into the spiritual without God allowing it. "Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." Again, these time frame terms throughout all this scripture. "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." So Paul's just saying, hey, if we don't want to have to deal with these bad things, we need to walk in the door that goes into heaven. The door that God has opened up for us. He's turned the light on. He's flipped the light on. It says we're open. Again, talking about time. He's opened the doors for you there. It says salvation is here. It's not going to automatically draw us in there. We've talked about this many times. You have to walk down the street, find that door, and walk into it through obedience and baptism and salvation. We have to admit what we do. But again, that moment and twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians, and then verses 57 through 58. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what?" And we're talking about time. "What is being steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, have to do with time." Steadfast means time's moving on, but you're firmly remained. You're standing your ground. as we've talked about many times, you're standing in a stream that's rapidly flowing by you, but you're not losing your footing because you're steadfast. Time frame is there. Immovable. Well, it doesn't mean that in an instant somebody tried to move you and you stood firm. That means people keep trying to pull at you, but you're not going. Same as steadfast. Always abounding in the work. So, again, that time frame in your life, you're always doing it. It's not just in a moment. You're continuing on. And again, labor is part of time frame too. So to conclude there, I've left up the timer on there. I've been doing some video work at my office. And time frames become a significant attribute when you're dealing with doing a movie or something like it. You've got a limited amount of time to show something. When you're down to 000, that means you're out of time. It's the end. There's nothing left. And so, as we use that analogy one more time, it took a lot of energy for that rocket to get off Earth. It takes a lot of energy for us as Christians to be faithful to God, to live our lives properly, and to try to find the spiritual places that where Christ and God are. But that world is going to go away, and we're going to go away with it if we don't escape it. So, that's all I have for you this morning. Ben should be a little bit more happy with me. But let's be thoughtful about time. Because the invitation is not just a moment that we take to sing songs. It's not really a time to just sit in the pew. It's not really a time to just think about what you're going to do the rest of the day. The invitation is basically a moment in time to remind us that time's not forever and that we need to take advantage of it. What is it worth to your soul? This is the song that Glennon has picked out, number 321. Encourage all to be thoughtful about their situation, to remember that time is only here as long as we are here. And once we're not here, the unmeasurable part of time is forever. It will go on. It will not be measured. It will have no end. And we'll be part of that. But for now, in this physical time, we have something to do. We can make decisions. God gives us the liberty to choose right or wrong. And He gives us the ability to come to Him for forgiveness, whether we're Christian or whether we need to be obedient. So please consider those things as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.